Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Access Astrology. My name is Ann Ortley, and I'm an astrologer in New York, and I'm sitting here at my bright red desk on a beautiful night where it's 58 degrees outside, and I am joined by my illustrious colleague, Mark.
Mark Wolfs, over on the west side of Manhattan by the Hudson River.
Yeah.
And yes, it's 58 degrees. It was pretty close to 68 degrees during the day today.
I know. It's pretty amazing. Pretty amazing.
Yeah.
And what we do every week here is there's three of us. Heather should be arriving shortly. We'll hear the ding with the Anne Clara bell, and she'll arrive. What we do is we talk about the weather, and we go, oh, cool, how exciting. And what's happening in the sky above and how to work with it and what to do with it when it kind of starts singing and dancing in your life. So, and we are in the midst of eclipse season, which is always one of my favorites. The eclipses are here. We're halfway through. We got another couple weeks, and then we have the second eclipse. And it was last Friday, so we couldn't see it here. It was down in Penguin Land, down in Antarctica and New Zealand and Australia and South Africa saw it. What did you do in the eclipse, Mark? Did anything happen in your world?
No, I was looking around. I didn't notice anything.
Nothing.
But, you know, often eclipses don't trigger anything on the specific day of the eclipse.
They come later.
Most often around that time, especially the couple of weeks of the season of eclipses. And then they're actually in effect for several months.
Mm-hmm.
So you never know.
You never know.
So we like to look at the chart and get an idea of the flavor of the eclipse and what kind of issues will be important and eventually will be triggered.
Right. On this one, it was a bucket chart.
Anything?
Yeah. So it had Mars as the handle, so it was definitely, you know, it's an eclipse about taking action.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and taking action was a good way to handle this. So, you know, coming on, you know, with the Thanksgiving celebration, it was like, okay, take the day off on Thursday and relax. But on Friday, try to set something in motion. That was pretty much the deal. This was in the second degree of Sagittarius.
Right.
And,
yeah.
Mercury had just gone retrograde. So, you know, I think there's a sense of needing to take action. But that action can actually be referenced to the past, with that Mercury station going retrograde.
Mean clearing up situations from the past.
Yeah, and being aware of the past and wanting to connect to the past in some way.
Mm-hmm.
So the energy of the action is moving forward, but the awareness includes looking backward. And then we had that grand trine in earth signs, which is really very strong, very positive, and Mars was part of that. So Mars was the handle of the bucket, and it also was in a grand trine with Jupiter and Taurus and Pluto and Capricorn. So Jupiter, Pluto, and Mars were working together very much as a team. And that's about taking action in a very focused way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And just kind of knowing that, you know, the somebody said to me, how come I'm feeling so amped up and so, like, I've got, like, a bazillion and one things to do, and da-da-da-da-da. And that's Mars in Virgo. He's very much a doobie. You know, it's a very doobie kind of Mars. And we have him for 9 months, so it's a great time to kind of get out the project lists and say, okay, what are the outstanding projects that I haven't gotten to? Because you're going to find you have extra energy to do them.
Definitely. And with the trine to Pluto, it means you can get through the whole list.
Yes. Because you're in the mood. You like cooking, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Mars trine Pluto, it's just it's like a battery that never runs out.
Right. And it's in there. It's back and forth with that Pluto for a while. And then it's also trining Jupiter, too. Once Jupiter starts to move forward in December, we're going to find that he's kind of launching energy, too. So.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I thought it was an interesting eclipse from the point of view of, you know, Mercury is also out of bounds. Which what that means is he runs a little wild, and so he's in charge of Mars. So it was kind of like You know, the reports I'd heard, you know, because I was a little worried with Mercury stationing on the day of the travel, that there would be a lot of travel problems. But it seemed to be people just kind of being a little out of bounds with the spending. And, you know, Black Friday was the best Black Friday we've had in ever. And, wow, you know, the eclipse, you know, suddenly the recession's over. And I'm like, no, I think it's Venus and Mercury out of bounds. Everybody kind of went, okay, let me just knock out some shopping. But it did seem to kind of show as kind of this exuberant, okay, let me go spend things, you know, let me just kind of get out there and buy some stuff. And also when there's a pent up demand because you haven't been buying because, you know, you've been saving money and now you're kind of like, okay, I need to buy some clothes. I need to buy some shoes. I need to buy. So I'm curious to see if the, you know, the energy that we found with the Black Friday being kind of so, you know, big numbers compared to others, if that will sustain itself or if it will kind of go back to more normal, you know, mm-hmm. as time goes forward. So, and this week there isn't really a lot going on in the heavens. You know, we've got the eclipse and then we've got the planet, the moons and the outer signs. And the rest of the stuff is just kind of floating along. I hear the Clarabelle. That means Heather's here.
Yes, this is Heather Ellen Robbins from St. Paul, Minnesota, on the road as we speak.
Where are you driving from or to?
I am driving from the far side of Minneapolis or Minnetonka back to St. Paul.
Oh, okay.
And, yes, with Mercury retrograde and everything that can go wrong, getting in the way, going wrong. So how are you both tonight?
We're good. We were just catching up about our Thanksgivings. Mark was having fun in the mountains of Massachusetts. Where were you, Mark? Someplace high.
Yeah, in the Berkshires.
Berkshires, yeah. And
how
I was.
How was it?
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Very nice. We're having really nice weather over here.
It's
58 wonderful.
Degrees, Heather. It's gorgeous.
Yeah. Yeah. That's wonderful.
And I got myself invited to a friend's house. You know, I cook, and I thought, no, I'm going to be on strike again this year. So I was. So I went on strike. She goes, you know, I've invited you all these years, and you've never come. I said, well, because usually I'm cooking. And this year I decided I was on strike. Not on strike, but I was going to take a year off. So it was really great to just go and eat.
Excellent.
And come home with a goodie bag. So
that's marvelous.
I had a good time.
We had Pluto as, you know, as Mercury station, sometimes people come home to roost, and that's an interesting effect of the holidays. We had, you know, the week before my father-in-law had died, and this, so suddenly at the last minute, the night before Thanksgiving, we find out that there are five new, you know, extra nieces and nephews that want to come home and just connect over, you know, with the family in lieu of a memorial service. So it's like, oh, five more people coming to Thanksgiving tomorrow. Okay. And let's see, let's get the chairs out of the garage. But I see that was a good way. We, you know, we did a lot of reminiscing over the holiday, and that's a very positive way of using that return to the past that Mercury retrograde can bring about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's good.
Mm-hmm.
That's very cool. Were they at your house or were they at Jamie's?
That was at my house.
Cool.
And, it, you know, that's a little different. I was noticing that, you know, in Egypt they're screaming that all the candidates are just like, you know, return to the Mubarak administration. That's not the kind of Mercury retrograde return to the past that you want.
No.
So we don't necessarily want to return back to our mistakes or our troubles, but to come back with a fresher, clearer perspective.
Hmm. Very cool.
Yeah.
Now that eclipse, has anybody experienced, what was your experience with the eclipse on Black Friday, besides all the people that died shopping?
Or people that pepper sprayed. It was really, I was like, pepper spraying people? Really? You're pepper spraying people?
Yeah. That grand trine in earth signs right now with Pluto, Jupiter, and Mars, you know, when they want to make something happen, they're just like, it's no nonsense. It's
right.
Get out of the way.
Get out of the way. I'm going to pepper spray you to hang on to my weave or whatever she was guarding. Yeah. No, it was, I just kind of was like, really? But, you know, pepper spray is actually not a weapon. It's considered a food product. So Anybody, I mean, in New York, we're not allowed to carry mace because mace is considered a dangerous weapon. But we can carry pepper spray because it's food. So who knew, you know? So.
Yeah, now we can get the industrial strength like the.
Mm-hmm. All you need is some, you know, a little cayenne and a little wind.
Right, a little cayenne and a little wind and some water, and boom, you're there. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Boom. But they, I thought it was interesting. Zane Stein pointed out about the eclipse occurred at the same degree as an asteroid whose name I can never pronounce, but it was the daughter of Chiron. It was named after the daughter of Chiron, who was a prophetess and said that her father, Chiron, would give up his immortality because of a bite, the poison of the snake. And he went, oh, that's not possible. And he took away her voice and made her into a horse. And then he proceeded to exactly that. He in the mythology, he was struck with an arrow that had the poison of the Hydra on it, and he was in such pain that eventually he traded his immortality for Prometheus's mortality, so he would be out of pain. Mm-hmm. So she was right. So it's getting
get
in trouble
back?
For speaking the truth.
Did
nope.
she get her voice back because she told the truth?
Nope, she did not. She stayed a horse.
You know, I really think that's kind of a rook, you know. She's telling the truth,
yeah.
And she got in trouble, and then
really?
They didn't go back and say, oh, you know, kind of DNA where they exonerate them, and they say, okay, you were telling the truth, you're off the hook.
Well, a lot of the mythology was pre-DNA process, but
yeah.
We don't know what happened to her in the next, you know, she may have been very happy as a horse, who knows.
She might have met
but
a kid.
Yeah,
no
I was gonna say, she might be better
you know?
Off as a horse, you know.
Yeah.
There's more honesty among
right.
horses than horse thieves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's true. But I think that the whole issue of, you know, telling the truth and who is happy to hear our truth and who is not is a good issue right
yeah.
now.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Well, certainly with Mercury out of bounds, everybody's
mm.
in the mood to be talking the truth. And Venus is able
true.
To
nobody's
swap.
Nobody's in the mood to be hearing it.
Yeah, nobody's in the mood to be hearing it, but they're all being talking it. So we go, okay, we're talking the truth. What does that mean?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
No, it's an interesting, and it's, you know, it's also distortions of the truth. There's that thing going on with, I want to say it's Romney's campaign where he took something that Obama said during the debates, but he said it in response to something that McCain had said, you know, it wasn't like his actual quote, and he's attributing, and he's like, well, he said it, and it's like, well, he said it, but you're not using the context right. That's the other thing,
so
is the misquoting.
Not, yeah, I agree with you.
Yeah.
That's very Mercury retrograde, though.
Yes.
Is that, that's very,
Well, he said it.
Out of context,
right.
truth. Like, it's technically true,
mm-hmm.
but it is not energetically true. It does not really cover what was intended, and then it's not really the truth.
Right. I like that, energetically
you know,
truth. That's the truth, yeah, which is
you know,
what's the energetic truth of it.
Right.
Wow.
Is that what was actually intended?
Right. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I always use the Catholic stuff, the omission and commission. But, you know, sometimes that doesn't work. So I think energetic
mm-hmm.
truth, you know, mm-hmm. did you know it was misinterpreted? Yeah, and you
mm-hmm.
didn't correct it.
Mm-hmm.
So on some level you left the energy of the untruth out there.
Right.
Yeah.
Did you want to make them wrong or did you want to understand them?
Right. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And if you're looking to make them wrong, you know, you can always do that. That's always
mm-hmm.
able to be, you can always misinterpret things. Yeah,
right.
Yeah, I like that.
Another thing that I'm seeing with the Mercury stationary, and I saw it again tonight in the conversation, was, and I feel for the poor Republicans doing all the debates right now, is those moments of brain freeze when
mm-hmm.
all of a sudden your mind just loses what its train of thought.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't mean you're stupid, just means you had a brain
mm-mm.
freeze. Yeah.
Right. And that, we can forgive even politicians for sort of happy to see make mistakes at the moment because it really is something that is existential at the moment.
Yeah. Kind of endemic in the culture.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Totally true.
I did that at a green light on the way home. I was like, okay, I'm stopping. It's a green light. Oh, right.
Don't have to stop at the green one. But it looked like a good light to stop at, so I just was pausing.
It was there. It was official. It was loud. Yeah.
it was bright, it was green, it was there, you know, like, let me stop, yeah.
And it's a big, but, you know, when you're running 10 things in a mind, our minds can do that.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So,
we have callers
on the
line.
What do we see for the week coming up?
We have an interesting week. Not a lot. There's a kind of a quiet week. The thing I noticed was the Mercury-Pluto conjunction, or Venus-Pluto conjunction.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah,
Venus,
that's the big one.
That's the big one. And Venus is in mutual reception with Saturn, so it actually is a Saturn-Pluto conjunction on a bad day.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And that brings us back to 1982, which is where, of course, where Saturn was in Libra when he joined Pluto. And that also the nodes are at the degree they were at when the 9/11 happened, which was when Saturn and Pluto were having their fight in the sky in 2011. So, or 2001. So we, you know, we've got a Saturn-Pluto story, even though Venus is, you know, kind of technically doing the job. But if she steps out, Saturn can step in. So to me, it's about restructuring relationships on a big level, or the structures of relationships. And how we're working with them. And, of course, Venus and Pluto are a little, you know, they're kind of passion and excitement. And then, of course, Saturn comes in and Pluto goes, what happened to Venus? You know, I was having fun with her. Where'd she go? So,
and there was also this week a coronal mass prominence, the sun sent out a flash. And today it's just hitting us today.
Mm-hmm.
So there is, you know, whenever we see the sun do a sudden shootout like that of energy, we expect to see a major question, a major volume of history gets turned up. And that was just in time for the Egyptian election. So it'll be very interesting to see what's going on here. I have an email from one of our customers, now that I've got, or one of our listeners, now that I just got to my computer. And we also had a good question that came in earlier this week about what software do we use? Because we often talk about noticing patterns and cycles. And I think it's partly software and partly, yeah, and I use SolarFire, and I think you do too, Ann, don't
I'm
you?
I'm a SolarFire person. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mark, what
do you Mark,
use?
Do you have a, SolarFire?
Most of the time, I just go to astro.com.
Yep, and that's another great one to use.
Yep.
And that's the astrologer's friend, you know, home away from home, I think of it.
Right.
That that getting to know charts, because we often talk about the cycles, you know, where it's been, where it's coming, where it's going. And I think that that's just more experience over time that you begin to see, you know, the flow, and you recognize that, you know, that the moon is not just in Aries, the moon is new, full, waxing, waning, where it is in the cycle, and every aspect of the planets, you start to feel the breath of the cycle. That just takes time, but you can also use the, in the software, there's a function of where you can rotate the chart over time and see what the chart was like a week ago, 10 days ago, a year ago, 10 years ago, and begin to watch those bigger patterns.
And also what will happen is as you, you know, aspects get set off in your chart, you're going to remember certain configurations. So like the Saturn-Pluto conjunction in 82 was big for me because that's when my mom got sick and died. So it was a major change in the structural of my life, you know, so relationship completely shifted. And there's an excellent book by Michelson, I believe it is, called Planetary Phenomena. And what he does is he lists all the outer planets and interesting configurations is the best way to say it. So when planets are all traveling together really close, and when the outer planets have conjunctions, and he does it across time and space, so you can look back like centuries and see when it last happened. And it's a very useful tool because it's like a little handy reference book. So you go, when was that? What degree was that conjunction again? And you remember it happened in the 80s, and you remember, oh, yeah, this year. And then you just open this book, and like magic, it's right there. So I would recommend for anybody who's doing any kind of historical work, get that book. And then companion book to it, read Richard
Charnas.
And
what was the name of that book again?
It's Neil Michelson's Planetary Phenomena.
Right.
And the companion I would get is Richard Tarnas's Cosmos and Psyche, Because what he does is he talks about the bigger planetary cycles and the impact of on the culture over time. You know, like we, you know, every year the sun goes through Cancer, every 12 years Jupiter does. So it's going to start something or do something in that energy. Saturn's there every every 29 years. So it's a, when you learn these bigger cycles, you start to really see how they roll. And really, history, good books, reading biographies, and then looking at people. Like we worked on Ted Bundy's chart in my class tonight. You know, and when he was convicted
just
of...
Just for fun.
Yeah, just for fun. Mystery guest, you know, Ted Bundy, serial... We did a nice one, too. But we did, you know, the aspects in his chart when he was convicted of murder in Florida actually mimicked his natal aspects. So, you know, there's his natal aspects, there's a mimic. So he's now having, you know, he knows he's going to be killed because he, you know, he went to Florida to get killed. It's really interesting. So you kind of find as you practice, you'll learn more and more. But those are two really, I think, really good aids, you know, doing biographies of people and looking up their stuff. And then watching how the big events, how they mimic in themselves, and then doing that planetary phenomena just for general. And Tarnas's book is excellent for giving you the big sweeping pictures of, oh, my God, we're entering this dystopian period with Uranus square Pluto. Well, yeah, it's revolution, but it's also people going, you know, I think life sucks, you know. Okay, well, yeah, what do you want to do about it, you know? And this has happened before. You're not new. It's on everything that's under the sun has happened on some level. So, kind of cool. So, Mark, how do you do it?
Yep.
Yeah, pretty.
Go ahead.
Yeah, it's watching those big cycles and seeing how they interact and when the various planets interact with each other.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I have a request from one of our listeners whose sister just died suddenly, and she would like us to look at their charts.
Okay.
And I don't know if we've got time for it today, or I think we should wait to hold this for next week.
We have 8 minutes.
Okay, so I'm going to say this looks like a pretty complicated one, but let's put this on the top of the list next week and take a call.
All right.
Yeah, we can listen to the caller.
Okay. Hello, 917. You're on the air.
Hi, this is Gwen.
Hi, Gwen. How are you?
Well, I could be doing a little bit better. I'm hoping that maybe you can help me figure this out because I basically just need to figure out what the heck is going on.
Okay.
I was born June 20th, 1968, Cincinnati, Ohio.
Mm-hmm.
At 6:43 p.m. 6:43 p.m.
6:43 p.m. And what's going on that we can help you with?
Well, I'm in grad school right now, and the funny thing is that you know, I've been listening to the show for a while, and the interesting thing is I got the news that I was accepted to grad school on the June 15th eclipse.
Wow.
But the grad program is really not going as well as I would like. I'm really, really struggling, and I'm really sort of wondering whether or not I should stay in the program simply because it's...
Well, what is the program about? Field?
It's a master's in social work.
Okay. And you just now... And you started how long ago? Just a few months ago?
This is my first semester.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I'm just feeling very, very overwhelmed by the amount of work, and I'm finding it difficult to keep up. And it's just, you know, I'm just sort of wondering whether this is whether I've sort of made a mistake.
Mm-hmm. Well, have you been doing this work for a while? It looks like you've been doing, you've been helping people already. Is that what you've been doing?
Well, after a fashion, in the sense that my previous job was involved with helping people, but it was not in a social work capacity. It was more sort of like in a corporate capacity. I was in human resources.
And so that wasn't serving you enough, and you were hungry to do something a little deeper, and which is why you went into social work instead of stayed in human resources?
Well, that and the fact that I was the past couple of years have been kind of difficult on the job front. So it's just, you know, looking to sort of improve my marketability as well as anything else.
Because your Uranus and Pluto in the 10th house I see in people who's, in order to get job stability, their job has to be about helping people change,
mm-hmm.
whether that's corporate work or relationship work or social work or psychology, that they keep changing jobs until their job is about help manifesting change.
Well, that kind of makes sense. Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah, and you've got that lineup in Gemini, which is so good at synthesizing so much information, but has trouble really concentrating and sitting still. And, you know, you're used to things being fairly easy for you. And this is going, I mean, fairly, like your mind can just synthesize a lot of information, but this is asking you to get a lot more rigorous.
Yeah.
But your progressed moon just went into Sagittarius. You're feeling in a really restless phase, and it just crossed across your ascendant. So I think you've just started a new phase, and you really can't see, you can't see far enough ahead right now. If there was a way that you could drop one class and just concentrate on a smaller amount until you retrain your mind to concentrate again, I think
that would
be very successful.
Yeah, I'm thinking, because I thought, I've been in grad school before, and I've been in grad school at competitive schools, so it's not like I
mm-hmm.
haven't done this before, because I have done this before. And
you've
I've
got a
and
very
this
good
is,
mind.
This is a pretty competitive. This is a pretty competitive school, or it's not.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't call it competitive, but it's
mm-hmm.
it's demanding. It's
mm-hmm.
a demanding program,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
and I'm
it
just
is.
Finding it very difficult to keep pace with the work. I'm falling behind, and now is not a good time to fall behind. And
is there
I
any
mean,
way you can drop one class?
Probably not. What I'm thinking of doing is probably taking less credits next semester, if I, you know,
okay.
because I
that makes
I,
sense.
Because this time around I took the full course load. I'm in school full time, and I'm also doing the full blown placement, which you have to do a field placement, and I'm doing
yeah.
it 3 days a week. So
yeah.
I think I may
That's
have just bitten off more
time.
Than I can chew.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think you did. And if there is a counselor there that can help you, or you know, a guidance counselor just can say, is there anything that I can cut out here so I can concentrate on the rest? Because
yeah.
you're good at juggling a lot. Just this is one bite too many.
I think so, because it overwhelmed me so much over the past couple of weeks. I've just been under so much anxiety that it's just
well,
driving
Saturn
me
Saturn is directly
crazy.
Opposed to Saturn. And I think that you are worried so much that it's hard for you to use that your energy in this, and then by the time you're in your second and third semester, you'll have the hang of this again. You'll have a little bit more confidence in yourself.
I hope so.
The other thing that's going on, Gwen, is there's a grand trine in air right now. So what happens when a grand trine in air takes place between the Saturn and the Neptune, but they're also trining all your air planets,
mm-hmm.
makes you feel very ungrounded. Once that calms down, which it will, you're going to feel less overwhelmed, because right now it's just like there's just this huge list flying at your head.
Yeah, that's exactly what's happening.
Yeah.
I think of all
the, and
the
eclipse
I think of the
is right
stuff
on,
that
was on your progressed moon. So
yeah.
you're feeling like you want to just drop everything.
Pretty much.
But
I mean,
think you need to work on stress relief and pacing yourself.
Yeah, because I mean, just the past, I would say like the past two weeks have been a monster.
Mm-hmm.
It was not. I was holding my own until about. I was pretty much holding my own until about 2 weeks ago, and then it just sort of like all came apart.
Right. Which is when Mars went into Virgo and it set off. You know, you have Jupiter and Virgo in the nine. So the other part of it is look at the amount of reading you're doing, and kind of say, okay, what level of depth do I have to do? Because Mars, you have a Jupiter and Virgo that likes to do everything perfect.
Yeah.
And with the amount of work you've got going, you can't do it. So you have to parcel and pick which is the most important. Does the teacher review the readings? Can I skim? Can I do, you know, work in a group that, you know, they read this and I read that and we share the cliff notes or whatever.
Right.
So
I'm just hoping that this, because I mean, the difficulty
okay, we're
going
to have to say goodbye now. We're going to have to say goodbye because they're about to cut us off the air.
Okay.
This is Heather signing off from St. Paul. And
this is Mark Waltz in New York City. Mm-hmm.
And Ann Ortley here in New York. So join us next week at Access Astrology.
Wonderful.
And have a good eclipse. You can see how fast it goes. We just eclipsed her. Eclipsed Gwen. We love you, Gwen. Call back next week.
Take care. Yes.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Take care.
Goodbye.
Bye, everybody.
Bye now.